welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Amen. Well, this morning, I'm excited to preach to you, and I'm going to speak to you a message that God put in my heart this week. And what I want to do this morning is I want to speak to you about one of the greatest battles you will ever face as a believer. How many know that walking with God ain't easy? Just wave at me, amen? And the biggest battle that you're ever going to face is the battle to remain in God. This world is full of a bunch of distractions, amen? How many know that life has a way of hitting us from out of nowhere, right? Life has a way of trying to distract us from the plan of God. But one of the things that Jesus said, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we can do nothing apart from God, I think that we as Christians should make it our priority to learn to remain in him. Are you hearing me this morning? So today what we're going to do is we are going to look at a few scriptures out of the book of Revelations. And the book of Revelations is a very interesting book because it is a book that was written by the Apostle John to encourage the Christians that were being persecuted amongst the Roman Empire. Now what makes this book so interesting is that the book of Revelations is a book of hope, but it is also a book of warning. Throughout the pages, the Apostle John, he gives us hope that one day our God, Jesus, will come back and he's going to vindicate his people. But he also writes about God's desire for us to live according to his ways, and he talks about the consequences of people who fall away. So what you have to understand about the book of Revelations is the book of Revelations is a book about the future, but it's also about a book of the present, right? It's a book for the present because God gives us direction about who God is and how he desires for us to live, but it also tells us about things that are going to happen. Are you hearing me this morning? So today what we're going to do is we're going to break down Revelations chapter 2. And it's pretty interesting because if you read Revelations chapter 2, it begins a series of small letters that Jesus wrote to seven different churches. Are you following me this morning? And each letter that Jesus wrote to the church talked about the unique characteristics of each church. But what I love about what Jesus does is he provides lessons that you and I can draw from and apply to our lives today. So we're going to look at the first letter that Jesus wrote, and it was the letter to the Ephesian church. Are you with me this morning? Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, this is what the Bible says. Before we read, look at the person next to you and say, it's hot in here. Tell them back, I know a place hotter. Amen. Amen. The Bible says this. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things. Say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have not found them, and have found them liars. I see that you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Someone say that's deep. This morning, I'm not going to spend, you know, whenever you look at the book of Revelations, you can truly spend a large time studying the different symbols and what everything meant. I'm not going to do that today, but I'm going to give you enough that you need to follow with where we're going, okay? When you look at the opening scripture, the first part of the scripture mentions seven stars and seven lampstands. Now, I want to tell you what the seven stars represent, what the seven lampstands represent, because it's going to help us with the message that we're going to minister this morning. So the seven stars that are in the hand of the Lord, commentators believe to be the pastors of each church or the spirit of the church. Now, when the Bible talks about the seven lampstands, it's talking about the churches themselves. And the lampstands represented churches that were light put in dark places of the world to shine where there was no light. How many know that as a church, we're called to be a lighthouse to our community, right? One of the beliefs that we have as Victory Outreach, when we plant churches, we don't look for the best area. What we do is we look for the area that nobody wants to go to. Are you hearing me? Because we believe that God wants us to be a light in dark places. So the seven stars that are mentioned in the scripture are the pastors of the church, and the seven lampstands are the actual churches themselves. Now, when the Bible says he who walks among them, it's talking about Jesus. Someone say Jesus. This is why it says the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, say he meaning Jesus. So here Jesus is writing a letter to this church in Ephesus. And like we read, Jesus is telling them, I know your works, your labor, your patience. He goes on to tell them that I have seen that you've persevered. I see that you have stayed strong for my name's sake. Here, Jesus is commending the church and takes notice of their works. He commends them for their hard work. He commends them for doctrinal purity. See, the church of Ephesus was established by the Apostle Paul on his third missionary journey. Now, this church was believed to be the model church. This church was a church that upheld the truth. Not only did they know the scriptures, but they lived the scriptures, they taught the scriptures, and they would not let anybody come into the church and teach something that was false. So this church was, in a sense, a model church for the majority of the churches that were in that neighborhood. Many believe that this church represented the apostolic age because they were people that stayed pure and they fought for doctrinal purity. Now, what you have to understand is this, that this church was in a city called Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was the capital of Asia Minor, one of the three most influential cities of that time. And this is where I want to, you know, in order to interpret the Bible, how many know that sometimes you got to go a little bit deeper? Right, you can't just read it like a book, but sometimes you got to pause and ask the questions like, why did they say this? Who was he talking to? What was going on during this time? Now, it's interesting that here Jesus is addressing the church and he's telling them, I see your works. I see everything that you're doing. But the reason he's saying this to them was because the city of Ephesus was a place where the temple of Artemis stood, which was one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, Artemis was worshipped as the fertility goddess. So it was a cult that was practiced within that city. Because it was a port city, it was a city that believed in this lady named Artemis, or they called her Diana. But this lady, the people believed to be the mother of all life. Now, what you have to understand about this religion or this cult is that because she was the spirit of fertility or the mother of all life, what they would do is they would practice sexual immorality within the city. So in other words, you guys get where I'm going. It was a very perverted city. Sex was encouraged. People were doing things that were not pure before the Lord. So what you have to understand is, here you have this church that is in the middle of one of the most corrupt cities in the world during that time. The standards of the people were at its all-time low. People were very loose with how they lived. But in the midst of all of that, you have this church. It is standing on the principles of God's word. It's not giving in to temptation. It's not allowing things to come into the church that shouldn't be there. But these people were standing on the word of God. So it wasn't easy for them to maintain purity because of what was practiced within the city. So then again, here you have God. He's telling them, I see your hard work. I see your perseverance. I see that you resist sin. But watch this. Here comes the boom. So God commends them in the first sentence, but in the second sentence, he tells them, I have this against you, that you have forsaken your first love. Wow. This is heavy. God is rebuking the church that did everything right externally. He's rebuking the church that knew the scriptures, that lived the scriptures, and what he had against them was that somewhere along the line in them upholding truth, somewhere along the line in them performing miracles and doing the great works among the people, he rebukes them for falling away from the love of God. Are you hearing me this morning? Listen to me, church. We're involved in a real spiritual battle. Are you hearing me? It's not easy to maintain moral purity in a perverted society. Are you hearing me? It's not easy to walk in God. Did I leave my handkerchief there? Oh, you put it up there. Thank you. Boy, it is hot. It is not easy to live a godly lifestyle when everyone around you is living with loose morals. It's not easy. Are you hearing me this morning? One of the things that I've learned walking with God for the last 18 years is this. You can do all the right things. You can say all the right things. And you can even stand your ground for the Lord. And some way, somehow, still drift far away from where he's at. You know, I went to El Salvador years ago, and I remember going to the beach, and we didn't really grow up around a beach, so I never really went to a beach. But I remember them telling me, hey, listen, be careful with the water. They said it looks shallow, but those waves that look small are actually very strong. If you're not careful, you can go swimming within it, and if you're not focused, the waves will eventually suck you in. And before you know it, you'll be swimming in a place that you're not comfortable with, nor a place where you have control. And as believers, you have to understand this. If you're not careful, you can do all the right things. You can say all the right things. You can come to church every Sunday. You can come to church every Wednesday. You can even read your Bible every day. But some way, somehow, still be far away from the Lord. Are you hearing me this morning? In their battle to maintain sound teaching and moral purity, they slowly began to lose focus as to why they were doing what they were doing. Listen to me, church. We take real hits as believers. We go through real stuff. We have our hearts broken. We go through real pain. And you and I, in this walk with God, what we have to do is be very careful that we remember why we do what we do. We got to be careful that we don't just show up to Sunday because we feel obligated or because we don't want nobody to badger us. We got to be very careful that when we do something, we're doing it for God and not for the people. Now, we got to care what people think, but we got to be very careful that we remain focused and understand that everything we do stems for our love for God. Are you hearing me? The Ephesian church had become a very large church. They were known for their works, but over time they had become a proud church. And somewhere along the line, they lost their focus and their hearts were affected. What they once did out of love, they now did out of duty. Are you hearing me? This can happen to anyone. Because again, we take real hits in life. There were things that hit me in my life I wasn't ready for. There are some of you, the things that you've gone through within the last few years has not been fair, in many ways has not been right, but nonetheless, you're still standing. But when your heart gets hit, it's hard to remain focused. Someone say focus. And again, one of the greatest battles you'll ever face as a believer is the battle to remain and keep Jesus the main focus. Listen, church, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. What's the main thing? It's Jesus. See, I show up on Sunday not just to preach the gospel. I show up because before I'm a pastor, I'm a servant. Before I'm a pastor, I am a growing disciple. My task, before I do anything, it's about acknowledging what he did for me on the cross. It's a reminder that God, everything I have is because of you. I don't sing songs during the time that they're singing just because it's something to do. I do it because he's worth it. I sing worship to my God because he died on the cross, because his name means something. It's a reminder. Every time we lift our voice, every time we do something, we press on, we keep going for the sake of God's love, we're reminded that God, I remember what you did for me. Are you hearing me this morning? I have found that when Jesus is no longer the center of my life, listen to me, I grow cold in love. I get frustrated and I start doing things because I have to, not because I want to. Are you hearing me? We got to be careful that we keep the main thing the main thing, because here Jesus is rebuking them. Because what they once did out of love, they were now doing out of duty. In other words, what God was telling them was this: you have lost your focus. See, the word left, when he said you have forsaken or you have left your first love, that word left means to leave, forsake, and to depart. It stresses an act from which one is personally responsible. This wasn't a lost love, this was a left love. These people had departed within their hearts from God. Now, I say that it's a personal responsibility because at the end of the day, no matter what you go through in life, your personal relationship with God is your responsibility. Are you hearing me this morning? You can go through things, but at the end of the day, it's about relationship, not religion. The church in Ephesus, from all outward appearance, looked good, but they had drifted far away from God in their hearts. They were a hardworking church, but they no longer had the passion for Christ they once did when they first believed in him. See, a danger we will face in our individual lives will be that temptations. Listen, one of the dangers that you're going to face in life is the temptation to substitute your works for your worship. You catch me this morning. If you're not careful and your focus doesn't remain the same, you will substitute your works, the things that you do for God, showing up on Sunday, serving in the children's ministry, singing a worship song, playing, ushering. You can turn in your works for worship. But what God doesn't want from you is your works. He wants your worship. See, this morning, this is the main part of the entire message. If you remember anything, remember this quote: God is far more concerned with the condition of your heart than the work of your hands. God is far more concerned with the condition of your heart than the work of your hands. This was the lesson that God was trying to teach his people. He said, I know what you do. I know you are still standing. I know you're working hard. But at the end of the day, I need to remind you that it's about my love. It's about me and you. It's about my relationship with you. Now, with that being the main lessons, I have two questions for you this morning. Number one, how is your heart this morning? How is your relationship with your personal Savior? Has it become an act of works, or is your heart still postured at his feet in worship? See, that's the first question I have, because this type of a message is a heart check. But the second question I have for you is this: what do you do when you have drifted away from God's love? Because I've been there many times. When I realize I'm far from God, man. Even as the pastor, there's been times I've come up here and I've preached the word and my heart has just felt far. Who's ever been there? Just wave at me. Where you're like, you're struggling, like you know you love God, but inside, man, you want to bash somebody's face in. Come on, don't look at me like that. I know who's in the room. Right? Where inside I love God, but God, I hate people. Come on, somebody. Huh? God, I love coming to church, but that person gets on my nerves. Right? We're talking about a multicultural church. If you really look around, we're not like one set nationality. We got a lot of diversity within this room. So the problem that you have when you have a lot of diversity within the room, you have different ideologies, different ways of thinking, you got different people coming together. We're all trying to change. At some point, somebody's going to say something to you you don't like, and not everyone's going to act godly. Wave at me, somebody. Are you hearing me? But see, that's the beautiful thing about God's love. God's love can cross any cultural barrier. God's love can cover the multitude of any sin. God's love is so strong it can penetrate the hardest heart, but it takes people being connected to the Lord and remaining faithful in a relationship with Him. Like I said, when my relationship with God is strong, I'm a good person, right? But when I haven't been praying, when I haven't been reading my Bible, I'm a little short with people. Are you hearing me? I'm gonna move forward, and we'll wrap this thing up because it's hot in here. Amen. So what do you do when your heart has become hardened and you've lost your passion? What do you do when you have become tired and no longer feel the same desire for God that you once did when you first accepted Him in your heart? Listen to me, church, the battle is real. I want to answer that question, because Jesus told this church, He gave them three things that they were supposed to do if they were going to get back to their relationship. Number one, write these down or remember them. Number one, what do you do when you have drifted from God? Number one, you have to remember. Someone say remember. Revelations chapter 2, verse 5, this is what the Lord said. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. That's heavy. See, this phrase is a call to reflect on the past. See, for some of us, we just have to go back to where we were when God found us. Listen, you didn't find God. Are you hearing me? God was already there. Are you hearing me? God found you. We were the ones that were lost. God hasn't, listen, people, where is God? Well, God ain't lost. Sometimes we're like, well, God ain't here. Yes, He is. We just got to press in a little further to seek His presence. Are you hearing me? But number one, the first thing you got to do, you got to remember. You know, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, here the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to a group of people that were slowly falling away from God. They were growing tired because of what they were going through. Listen to what he says. He says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same thing. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So here the Apostle Paul, he's addressing this group of people that they're growing tired, they're growing backwards, but listen to what he tells them. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. See, there are some of you, you're growing tired, but I hate to tell you that the fight has just begun. The fight has just begun. We have to remember. What did he tell them? He said, what you need now, you need patient endurance. What is patient endurance? Patient endurance is the ability to maintain and stand even when nothing is going your way. It's easy to follow God when He blesses our bank account. It's easy to follow God when our family is all happy for us. It's easy when everything's about unity. But it's a whole other fight when you're trying to follow God and everyone comes against you. It's a whole other battle when you're trying to uphold truth and everything around you seems to be false, or when we're battling with our past. Are you hearing me? What I say to you this morning, don't throw away your confident trust. Remember the reward that it will bring you. You stand your ground. You stick it out, because the end result is one day you're going to walk the streets of gold. You're going to be with the Savior. One day we're going to enter into heaven. There's going to be no pain. There's going to be no suffering. Listen, I'm going to see my pastor again. I'm going to see my uncle again. I'm going to see my grandfather. Are you hearing me? Amen. See, we're going to dance with Malik. Are you hearing me? We can't so easily give up because there was a little conflict within the church, or someone said something about us, or because we got angry. We got to remain and remember, because he was thinking about us when he was on the cross. In other words, he's telling them, remember what you first learned about Jesus. Remember your love for God. Don't forget about your confident trust in God. The second thing that you have to do when you have fallen away from God, repent. Someone say repent. This word repent means to change the mind or purpose, or to change one's decision. The word repent identifies, listen to me, it recognizes that our previous decision, opinion, or condition was wrong. We take personal responsibility for what happened within our life and us separating from God, and we come to the throne of the Lord. This is why we have a picture of a man who's looking to the hands. In other words, when we lift our hands, it's a sign of surrenderance. For some of us, listen, there is chaos within our lives because you have not yet surrendered. Are you hearing me? I learned that, man, I used to think that God had something against me, or that the devil just had it out for me. But no, I realized as I grew and mature, I stopped blaming the devil, and I started realizing, man, the majority of all the problems within my life have nothing to do with the devil. It has everything to do with my immaturity and making bad decisions. And then the minute I started realizing, wait a minute, I got an attitude problem. Wait a minute, I have pride. Wait a minute, I have a tendency to lean on my own understanding and not follow God's wisdom. When I started taking responsibility for my life and I started going to prayer and I started to say sorry and meant it, things changed within my life. See, there are people that come to this altar and they say, God, I'm sorry, but that's all they are, is sorry. Because there's no intent or plan to change direction of the way that they live. See, whatever spirit, if there's a bondage within your life, let's say lying, what happens when you tell one lie? You gotta tell another lie, right? So this is the problem with lying. One, we know it's wrong, but let's say we have to throw a lie out there. But now we got to throw another lie out there. And then we got to throw another lie out there to cover another lie. You know what's actually happening? We're inviting the spirit that is associated with the bondage of lying to bring its cousin called deceit. So what you have to understand is, when we do certain things and we know it's wrong, eventually we're inviting the other spirits to come into our lives, and we give it a foothold. And therefore we can't walk in victory. Are you hearing me? True victory, listen to me. If you rob me once, like if it was my house, boy, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to figure out a way to keep you out. Are you hearing me? We got to spiritually, listen to me, get an ADT spiritual system within our household. Nothing is going to come into my house. I'm not going to allow anything to come into my house that's going to disrupt my family. See, repentance includes confession of sin, with the view to stop the bad behavior so it can be replaced with a new behavior. Revelations 3:19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous in repentance. In other words, God will come and God will deal with you. I'm bringing this out for a reason. You have to understand, God will make you feel bad. That's called conviction. But conviction will drive you towards God. The enemy will come and bring condemnation to your life and make you feel horrible. After you mess up, you're like, man, I'm bad. God doesn't want me. That's not from God. That's from the devil. Let me prove it. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly grief, in other words, godly conviction, produces repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas godly grief produces death. See, there are some right now that the reason spiritually you're dry is because you've allowed the spirit of regret, death, to constantly eat at you. Listen, stop giving the enemy room to give you a Bible study, because you are a good person. Yes, you messed up, but our God will forgive you. Our God has the ability to cover any sin that you have committed. Listen, if God can forgive you, then we as people need to learn to forgive those who trespass against us. So lastly, you have to, when you've fallen away from God, you have to remember, you have to repent, And the next thing that you have to do is you have to repeat. Someone say repeat. What did God say? He said, remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent. And he says, do the things you did at first. When the scripture says, do what you did at first, this is not referring to more work. Again, don't turn in work for worship. It's not the same value. When it's talking about first, it means first in time, place, or rank. So when Jesus said, do the things you did at first, he's talking about do what you did when I first entered into a relationship with you. Listen, married couples, you got to keep dating. Listen, husbands, you keep buying flowers. You every day, you have to give a compliment. I remember that my wife told me that it was a while back. I remember when we were dating. I mean, I bought her flowers all the time. Then we got married. I didn't buy her flowers for years. Now, what happened? Am I a bad person? No. I forgot, but she remembered. Come on, somebody. And she did a very good job at reminding me. Come on now. Man, we got to take hints. What am I trying to say? The things that I did when I first met my wife and caused her to fall in love with me are the things that I have to continue to do today, 12 years later, going on 13. When I'm 20 years married, I want to still be doing the very things I did when we first dated because I love her. Isn't it interesting that God refers to his relationship with the church as one of marriage? Listen to me. If we did a spiritual investigation on those who have drifted from the faith or who have grown distant with God, what would we find? What would we find the root? I have seen many people drift from God, and the one thing that I see consistent within all their lives, somewhere along the line, they stopped praying and they stopped reading the Bible. See, when God said, do what you did at first, he was talking about fellowship. You got to enter into a relationship with God. That's what changes it from religion to relationship. Jesus is more concerned, again, as the worship team makes their way on up. God is far more concerned about what we do with him than for him. Labor is not a substitute, listen to me, for love. To the public, the Ephesian church was successful. To Christ, that successful church had fallen by the wayside. Listen to me, church. We have to cultivate our relationship with God through prayer and through fellowship. Are you hearing me this morning? It goes on to say in verse number 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is a loving call to hear what the Holy Spirit is teaching. This morning, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to many, and I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to hearts this morning. And I don't know where you're at with your relationship with God, but I think for some it's time to come back. As we all stand this morning, as we all stand, this morning, if you're here and you simply say, I want to pray for those of you that are here that you say, Pastor, if I'm honest with myself, I've grown weary and I've drifted to some degree away from God. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed and you want prayer, lift your hand and quickly put it down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Secondly, those of you that are here that you say, I need to strengthen my prayer life and my reading life, and I need my heart to stay pure before the Lord. If that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. This morning, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing as they sing. I'm going to ask you to simply come to the altar, spend a few minutes with God. Just you and the Lord. If that was you and you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you, just come to the altar. I'm not going to embarrass you, but just between you and the Lord, and just spend some time with Him. If you got to ask for forgiveness, whatever you have to do.
For from you are all things,
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Lift your hands, say, you are worthy of it. Come on, give them your worship this morning. Yes, you are.
You are worthy of it all. For from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing it one more time. Sing, you are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all.
Come on, lift your voice. Say it again.
You are worthy of it all. For from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory.
This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning, I want to say two prayers. The first prayer I want to pray are for those of you that are here that you say, I need strength. I feel like I've drifted, but I know God is faithful. I need to revitalize my relationship with God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, would you draw me near again? I want to apologize for drifting. I want you to know that I'm grateful and that I love you. Would you teach me to keep the main focus, my relationship with you? I acknowledge that without you, I can do nothing. Draw me close. I need more of you. Strengthen my prayer life. Strengthen my ability to read your word. I love you. In Jesus' name. The second prayer I want to pray are for those of you that are here. It doesn't matter where you're at, but if you say, I need to repent. There are areas in my heart that have grown cold. Maybe I'm mad at somebody, or you say, I'm sorry because I've fallen away from God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus. Come on, say, Jesus, would you please forgive me? Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I am sorry if I have drifted in my relationship with you. Would you strengthen my prayer life? I want to ask you to be Lord over my life one more time. Would you please work within me a fresh passion to communicate with you? I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe you resurrected, and because of that, I can have hope. I want to tell you thank you. Keep me close in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just take a few more moments. Come on, lift your voice and say,
day and night, night and day, let it.
Say, let worship.
Day and night,
let worship.
Let worship arise.
There it is. Come on, turn it in. Turn in your works for your worship. Make it worship this morning. Say, day and night,
day and night.
And day and night,
night and day, let worship arise. Day and night,
night and day, let worship arise. Day and night, night and day.
You are worthy.
You are worthy of it all.
Yes, you are.
You are worthy of it all. for from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Hallelujah. You are worthy. One more time. One more time. Sing it with all your heart. You are worthy of it all. All from you were all things, and to you were all things. You deserve the glory. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for what you did here this morning. Lord, I ask that in this walk that we would remember, we would consistently repent and repeat the things that we did at the beginning. Father, we don't want to grow weary. We love you. We're blessed this morning that you constantly forgive us. Would you draw us closer as a church? Would you bring unity and allow us to be encouragements to one another? Father, as we depart this morning, as we go home, as we go into our work week, I pray that the same peace we feel this morning would go to our houses and into our jobs and into our schools. Father, we thank you for what you did here this morning. God, we love you. Father, we bless you. We give you honor. We give you glory. And in Jesus' name, we all say amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Listen, God bless you. I want to encourage you. Listen, this week, take some